Okay, we are reconvening from our closed session.
I hope you didn't make a break this closing today.
What? Oh, no. I did. I heard it on the radio on the way here. Okay, we're reconvening our meeting at 7:15. And I'm sorry we kept you all waiting. We've been meeting with our lawyer since 6:30. And under the Brown Act, I have to tell you what action, if any, we took at our meeting. And the answer is none. And that was actually both of our attorneys were here. So that's who came back into the room with us. So I'm going to go back and call reconvene our meeting, which I initially convened it at 6:30 when none of you were here. And so I'm back maybe halfway down the blue page here, and we're reconvening our meeting now. I've reported that we took no action at our closed session, and so I'm now on agenda item number one, which is the adoption of the consent calendar. And the consent calendar is items 3, 4, 5, and 6 on our agenda. The incident activity report, our monthly financials. Is everybody happy with those, or any corrections to those, Larry?
6 does not, is not a consent item. That's the chief's report.
Oh, it's the chief's report. You're right. So we'll take that. It's 3, 4, and 5. Thank you, Larry. Uh-huh. Good spot. Okay. Does anybody want to pull any of those items? If not, I'd be happy to entertain a motion to accept our consent calendar consisting of items 3, 4, and 5.
I make a motion.
What?
Do we not get to weigh in? Does the public not get
to on the consent calendar? Do you have a question on the consent calendar?
Well, yeah, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
If you wouldn't mind.
You could still speak after he makes this motion.
But it would be after he's made the motion.
But before it passes.
Pardon?
Yeah. Before we vote, yeah.
Okay, I'm not hung up on exactly where, but I do have a question.
Okay.
And that is, this has just dawned on me, but aren't the minutes usually part of the consent items?
Yes.
Not always, but
usually.
Usually.
Okay, so why are they not there tonight?
Where are they?
They're not ready.
They're just not ready.
And why aren't they ready?
I haven't finished them.
Well,
so let me just say this. Probably in my entire tenure, which is, you know, is ending soon, this has maybe happened like 3 times.
Okay.
It's very unusual.
Okay.
Boards do it, municipalities do it, but it's unusual. It just has to do with workload and things that are coming along. Does that help you?
Yes, I don't want to.
I don't know why they weren't here. I'm just saying.
I didn't notice they weren't there.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
Okay, you were about to make a motion, Larry.
I would like to make a motion that we adopt consent items 3, 4, and 5.
Okay, there's been a motion made. Is there a second?
Second.
I will second.
Third.
Okay, a motion made and seconded that we adopt our consent calendar consisting of items 3, 4, and 5. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. And abstaining? None. Okay, we're on to oral communications, and this is the place on the agenda reserved for comments and inquiries from members of the board as well as members of the public on items that do not otherwise appear on the agenda. We traditionally begin with members of the board, and then we take comments from members of the public. And I wanted to ask you one question, Lance. Because I heard on the radio yesterday that the Sheriff's Department in Napa County has now installed sirens in each of the sheriff's cars that are basically fire alarms.
I saw that yesterday on the news also. I don't have any information on it.
Could you check on that and see what it is? It would be a hell of a lot cheaper than...
It does appear to be something that's come from the North Bay fires or something.
Yeah.
It would be more effective to get the message out.
Yeah, but if you could find out about that and report back to us, I'd appreciate it.
But we would have to put those sirens in all the sheriff's cars.
Kensington police cars.
Kensington's only got one police officer on duty.
But it could be in all the cars.
Yeah, there were 20 sheriff's cars out in Napa County alerting people to get out of town.
Well, we've got 1 square mile.
Yes.
So we could put it on our engines.
Actually,
we could put it on our engines
in
this.
They may even
it's
be
just
in
a
place.
High-low, if it's a standard siren symbol,
right.
I don't think they have to do anything.
Oh, they maybe have it already?
Sure.
Yes.
I wonder.
It's a high-low.
Quite possible.
It's got a high-low on the engines, don't we, Matt?
Well, anyway, if you could find out about it, Lance, I would appreciate it.
We'll have Chief Padone follow up on that.
Great. Thank you very much. Any other comments from members of the board? Seeing none, members of the public. Yes.
I wonder if the chief could comment on whether there have been any changes in emergency medical dispatch procedures. I asked because about 2 months ago, a neighbor, a young man, suffered a broken wrist in a freak accident in his house and called 911, and Kensington Police responded. And it took about, I would say, 20, 25 minutes. It was not life-threatening, but it took 20, 25 minutes for an ambulance to respond, and I gather they were dispatched from the county. At least that's what the ambulance personnel told us.
Yeah.
So that kind of, in my mind, raised the questions of how the decision is made to dispatch from...
It's a great question.
Yeah.
So as far back as 2007, in 2007, the county EMS asked dispatch centers to implement what they call a medical priority dispatch. If anyone's called 911 with a medical in your house, you've experienced it. The dispatcher will ask you the basic reason why you're calling, your location, and then signs, symptoms, loss of consciousness, altered level of consciousness, medical history, those type of things. They have a standardized, nationally recognized program where they're reading off a card or off a screen that based on your answer, it goes to the next question. Based on your answer, it goes to the next question. It's been very effective of getting resources to the right calls, so you're not on a minor slip, trip, and fall when there's a pending heart attack, those type of things. But there has been no change in the priority dispatch for El Cerrito Kensington since 2007. We did change dispatch centers, but they use the same accreditation program for what type of unit goes to what type of call.
Thank you. And the second follow-up question on that is, Are our trucks here staffed with paramedics or EMTs?
Yeah.
Paramedics?
Yeah, paramedics.
Yeah.
Yeah. 24/7.
Thank you.
At least one each shift. Yeah. Yeah, Lynn.
Lance, you once remarked something about that you had not wanted the 911 to go to Albany. Uh-huh. And I was wondering if you could expand on that.
I've always thought when it comes to services to a community and operations within a community, fire service, EMS, police, they're put together in a fashion of op areas. Contra Costa County is an op area. Alameda County is an op area. So in the event that anything goes to the extreme level where you would be communicating with the op area, I've always felt it's best if you're asking for resources from your op area to be positioned and dispatched from a dispatch center within your op area. It just streamlines the system, one less call. When the big one hits and the Hayward Fault decides to do what it's gonna do, the issues will be everyone will be inundating the county EOC for resources and those type of things. If you're not from a dispatch center in that op area, I've always felt there's an inherent delay.
Mm-hmm. I think you had a question, Jim. Yeah.
Yes. Brenda was kind enough to send me the lease agreements that El Cerrito has with Kensington has with El Cerrito. And I'm curious, who is it that is going to handle an extension of that lease agreement?
The lease agreement that we have with the...
El Cerrito.
You mean the contract?
The contract with the city?
Yeah, well, the contract, excuse me.
Okay.
That usually goes through the finance committee.
I'm sorry?
It usually goes through the finance committee.
Well, has that person, have he started those negotiations?
No.
Oh. Well, because it says in your Second Amendment that the terms of this agreement shall expire on June 30th of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes on to say that the parties will initiate negotiations to extend the contract on or before January 1st of 2018. The reason, of course, is because you have to reach an agreement a year and a half before.
Because of the 18-month provision, correct.
So it's basically been 9 months. You should have started those negotiations 9 months ago.
You're right.
So you need to have people starting this because you theoretically should have an agreement signed by December 31st of this year to meet the year and a half requirement. So I'd like to know who those people are that are going to handle that, because I spent most of my life doing lease negotiations and I see some issues on that lease that I think.
It's not a lease, it's a contract. Yeah, I mean, you keep calling it a lease. It's in fact a contract. Yeah, as president, I will designate people to handle the negotiations.
So, can I find out who those people might be? Because
when I make up my mind, I'll let you know.
Okay. Yeah, because my reason is, I don't think it's appropriate to talk about some of the issues contained in the current lease when you have the party that you're going to be negotiating with. I keep saying lease, I'm sorry, contract, sitting right here. So it'd be nice if I could talk with whoever it is that you assigned it to.
Okay.
And the other thing I would say is that you should really take a look at these leases because, as I said, Brenda was kind enough to send it to me. But these leases are very incomplete. Many of the documents that should be attached by way of exhibits to the are not there. So I can't figure out what is going on because some of the exhibits aren't there. So somehow you need to take another look and get those lease agreements that you have updated so we know what it was that comprised. Excuse me, lease, I keep calling it lease.
It's okay, I know. I now understand what you're talking about. Yeah.
What comprised the complete contract that you have with this agreement?
Okay. Any other questions? Yeah.
I want to bring up once again the question of Kensington's vulnerability from Wild Lake Canyon inspector. And this has been brought up several times at board meetings. And I address this to the chief. I still want to be talked out of the proposition that the school trail would make a very good fire break for defending the homes up on the region and the rest of the community.
You want to be talked out of that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why? Is this not an obvious thing for Kensington to look to try and develop? The school trail in back here, the mass of vegetation downhill of it, the concern for the people who are living directly along there, who try, you know, on a micro scale to clear out what they can. Mm-hmm. The issues with the parks that we've heard, with East Bay Parks that we've heard again and again, that they're not willing to be cooperative partners. We have heard all of that, and it seems to me that this board could well consider a more aggressive stance towards clearing that out so that fire trucks could pass through there and that the back door Kensington could be defended. So, and my question to you is, I'm really asking, is there a reason why that would not be an effective thing to do?
So ultimately what we look for when homes and properties interface with wildland areas, which that is it a minimum 100-foot buffer zone? If you look along the end of Purdue where the meadow is there, the trail's on the other side of that. So that 100-foot buffer zone is above that. To answer your question, more is always better. And doing more in the park, beyond 100 would be great and would make us safer overall. But that's another jurisdiction. And so I can make recommendations, I can ask. But our authority ends at the Kensington line. So we can try to work with the park like we do. The board sends letters, ask for more, ask with their upcoming ballot members to renew their fee that's on everyone's property tax to focus in that area. We work very closely with the park manager, Patrick McIntyre. He tells me in the next phase of the FEMA grant, they're going to do units along, specifically along Kensington. So if your question is it effective? Yes. And would more be better? Yes, that would be effective too. But we cannot force them to do more on their property. That's something that would come from their governing board. We can encourage them, we can ask them, we can plead to them, and we do all of that. But, your question's better posed to the East Bay Regional Parks Board.
I know, and that's the answer that you gave me before, and that's not really what I'm looking for. What I'm looking for is this. Part of that was originally designed as a road.
And it washed out. And it washed out. And we've asked many times for it to be repaired, and they tell us it's not a maintained road, we don't want it as a vehicle access, and we're not going to fix it.
And here's my response to that. You already engaged with quite an extensive project up on the ridge line, the East Bay Mud, to get high power fire hydrants put in there. You mm-hmm. shared the cost of that.
Mm-hmm.
So talk me out of the proposition that this fire department go in with the parks and some cost sharing and get those washout places put back together so they can bring fire trucks.
So the component you're missing is biology, habitat, spotted owl, Alameda whip snake, all those things. All of those things is what their answer is to us. And money's not going to solve that. More money to do vegetation removal, they don't want more vegetation removal. If I thought we would come forward with the type of money that we spent on a water system improvement here into East Bay Regional Parks and push that buffer 300 feet into the park, it'd be the first thing I'd do. They won't do it.
Okay, that's helpful.
I think you should keep asking.
Pardon?
I think you should keep bringing it up.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you.
I mean, I think maybe there's another way. Maybe we do more than we're doing. I mean, I think with this Santa Rosa fire, you have to look at the world differently. And I've heard Lance talk about, but I think maybe we should be more aggressive at doing what we can do.
See, I was going to bring this up, but I might as well. I have an acquaintance. He lives in Lewiston, California. That's up in Trinity County, and I visit him frequently. And to get there, you drive 299 north of Reading. You start in northern Reading, and you drive past Old Shasta up to Whiskeytown Lake, and then along Whiskeytown Lake past the Carr Powerhouse.
Yeah, right.
Where I'm going with this.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And
10 years ago, I was at the Bake Oven fire right behind the Carr Powerhouse.
Up Blackhorn Summit, and then into Trinity County. Now, driving that, I did recently, just 2 weeks ago, at 60 miles an hour, at freeway, not freeway speeds, but highway speeds, took me an hour to get from Reading to his house. And the entire area, the whole way, is nothing but burned out trees. They're busy pulling down the trees that are right next to the highway, cutting them down so that these burned out trees won't fall on the highway, and they're putting them in piles. It's very sobering to see what a large fire can do. And I'm thinking all this time, the brush back here in Wildcat Canyon and how to defend our homes against that. If a firestorm came up there, we would be toast. And so I guess I decided to bring it up once again. I would like to see a little more aggressive action on the part of the fire department. Go to those East Bay, the parks meeting somebody and be scratchy about this.
Or maybe you could go in.
Or maybe I would partner with one of you. I'll give you my phone number. I'll go. There, I'll be scratchy.
At the end of the night, give me your phone number.
Okay.
Okay, any further? Yeah, David.
A few, several years ago, Len Wells came before the board and sought some engagement for the possibility of contributing to the community center seismic upgrade. Has the police district come back to you at all in those discussions, or was that?
I can't hear you. We've heard nothing from Len Welsh at all, and actually, I'll discuss.
Not only Len, but anyone else on
the board? Yeah, I've discussed it with Rochelle, and we're working on a proposal, a plan.
To do what? I didn't hear the question
well,
either.
The upgrade, your community center needs a seismic upgrade, Larry, obviously.
Right.
And
the community center upgrade.
Yes, but Len came several meetings.
Not this place, the community center. Mm-hmm. We don't own the community center. Right?
No, but the community center is identified as an evacuation shelter and a communications center during disasters.
It has?
Yes. If you look at your Kensington Annex, which is the operations plan, it was developed by the El Cerrito City.
There's 5 seconds.
You might want to look in the penal code under profiteering. because that's it. Yes. But I'll be happy to share my discussions with Rochelle after they're concluded, and I think they'll probably be concluded in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Great. Thank you.
You know, and I'll preface it by saying when they attempted to remodel the community center, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. I think we proposed maybe $15,000 or $20,000.
$10,000.
Was it $10,000? Yeah.
We actually wrote the check. Yeah, but
and I returned it.
Yeah.
I know. We talked about that.
Well, the measure didn't pass. So it was a moot point.
Yeah. Well, this is before that.
Yeah.
This is before measure. It's called out before that.
I'm glad you're in discussions with. President.
But we've said we're open. We've not done numbers, but we've said we're
open. Again, I think it's important, given the fact of identifying it as an emergency evacuation shelter, the communications center. I mean, if there's an earthquake and people have to be sheltered here and someone may be injured, your EMS folks are really involved in that directly.
My hunch is rather than paying $200,000 to $300,000 a night, we would find an alternative communication center.
And a shelter as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, go ahead, Vita.
Since we're talking about in tax dollars, mm-hmm. our tax dollars, I was there when Len brought the subject up. And I was thinking, as much as I love this beautiful pictures of the garden that you're going to be doing, that's going to cost $50,000, I brought this up once before. Why can't we do this as a virtual garden where everybody can see it, people from Lower Kensington who don't come to the park can also see, and contribute this $50,000 that you have, well, it was $30,000 for, and then it was 8 or 9 that you already approved for the design. So why don't you contribute this money toward the seismic retrofitting of the community center, because it is a place that people are going to think, if we can run from the earthquake or the fire, that's the building people are going to run to. So
I hope not.
Okay, I just say again, there's 5 sites, that's what I was going to say. There's 5 that are published. The church is one, this building is one. So no, I'm not trying to
but that is
say it's not important,
communication center. I know
for
it's not a shelter because we don't have any showers.
I'm not quite. Are you talking about the 10-year-old ham radio station that's up there?
No, Len Welsh is prepared to ask us for $1 million to help renovate the community center. To make it a communication center for 2 or 3 days.
Where did the $1 million come from? I don't think we heard that.
That's what Len has told me the ask is.
Casually, but
yeah.
Probably isn't a real number.
He's been taking lessons from Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but since our powers don't include recreation, you know, the directors would be liable for the $1 million personally. No. Yeah.
Well, I was just talking about the $50,000 that.
Yeah. No, I know.
My personal opinion is a frivolous project. It looks lovely, but why don't we put it You know, stuff it, I know it's not glamorous, stuff it in the grounds up there and make it a safer building.
Okay, any other comments?
Oh. Julie, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if you read the Kensington Annex Emergency Operation Plan, the community center is where the fire board is supposed to convene in an emergency.
That's correct.
So that's your first destination if a major earthquake strikes.
That's correct.
In addition to the fact that it is the designated communication center, presumably radios are already there, and an evacuation center. So I guess if you're... Maybe the plan needs to be updated if that's not your intention, but that's what the plan
I think our intention says. Would be to use it. Until the community services district tells us we cannot unless we pony up $1 million. So I don't believe we need to revise our plan.
But the question is whether their renovation plan ensures that it's being renovated to the essential services standard, so that if in fact there is an earthquake, that building will still be standing.
I think it's not being upgraded to an essential facility.
Thank you.
I was told it wasn't. You're saying it is being?
I haven't been able to find anything on paper because their plans are not as detailed as the study that you commissioned that had all the data sheets and indicated that all the specs that you got were to bring this building to essential services standard. But theirs is really high level and there's no mention of what they're aiming toward with the
I think they're meeting the correct building code. I think they're meeting the current building code, but it's not considered an essential facility. I think they're not doing that. And my ex down there didn't see that as an integral part of that use. Is that right, my ex?
Say it again now.
It seems to me when we've discussed this before, it's not in a major sort of part of a program.
Well, we would use it as an alternative site for the fire board to meet. It would also be used as an evacuation center. But if that's not available, we would use other sites.
Yeah.
Since the original component of the annex was done, we developed a fully operational EOC in the new city hall. So when the plan was originally set up for functionality for elected members and succession of control through the electeds, when it was set up, it was the public safety building downtown, Station 72, or the community center here. Now we have a fourth item that is built to modern essential services or the fully connected EOC at the city hall.
Okay, you had a comment.
Yeah, so I think this, I have several points, questions I got. So one point here is just on this question, it seems like the fire board has not at all been involved in the discussion of how to bring the community center up to the standards required for the fire board to exercise its responsibility to be this area of communication, evacuation, and shelter. And that is obviously the police board maybe for not engaging. But you know this is your responsibility, and it seems like that's been punted. So right now, this
didn't Dave review the plans, Lance?
Yeah, he reviewed them for the functionality that they suggested.
I mean,
continue to the extent of review, we asked for a monitored fire alarm.
Yeah.
And based it on the fact that it's a tentative improvement, they said they weren't going to put in a monitored fire alarm. Our thought was if you were going to have a building of this value, and a building that's going to be rented without a staff liaison on site during parties and stuff, that you would want a monitored alarm so when people leave the building, you know that the kitchen was cleaned up, turned off, those type of things. But the architect has chosen not to include those type of things.
Good, thank you. And you also, based on what Julie said, you've established that the things you need to do to bring up to code so it won't just crumple and get people out that will be useful afterwards. Those things may not have been included and this to bring it to those standards. So just so we know that, so it's just, it hasn't been done. Okay, that's fine. The second thing is, what was the 10K4 that you contributed to the Measure L version of the community center building? Was there a specific thing, or just like being nice and giving them 10K? Was there something specific the 10K was supposed to be used for?
Do you remember, Nina? I think you were more involved.
Well,
with it
was upgrades to the community center. Maybe you can even elaborate on that.
The contribution was non-specific. It was for the CSD to use.
Nothing.
It was to help fund the upgrades that they chose to do.
So it was not specifically.
It wasn't designated to facilitate. Like the kitchen.
Would make it a communication site.
In fact, it wasn't tied to anything. It was just that we wanted to contribute.
Good, thank you.
Now, actually, it had nothing to do with Measure L either. It was one case that was going to do the renovation. I think the check went to KCC, didn't it? You made a $10,000 contribution the same way as KIC and KPOA did.
That's right. Bruce Morrow came and asked for some money, and we... That's right. Wasn't even to the board then.
Third point, I want to really agree with the chief. It's not his job to interface with the park.
Excuse me?
It's not the chief's job to interface
Well, don't misinterpret. That's not what I'm saying. I interface with the park probably twice a week.
No, but I mean to get them to
establish
the
walls fire chiefs hit on vegetation management are very similar everywhere we go. And we look for creative ways to get around that. I would say, in all honesty, the folks I deal with at the park, they try very hard to meet the needs of what we ask for. Remember the simple things. Kensington is the first community that was allowed to have citizens work in East Bay Regional Parks. The development of a right of entry permit started with our fire marshal, Mike Bond, because there was a time where we were getting called, hey, your citizens are in our park mowing and trimming. There has to be guidelines, there has to be this. So the right of entry for Kensington along the school trail, along Kensington Court, all stemmed from some flexibility we saw. They also at this point allow us from time to time to send contractors in and do work that volunteers have said they're going to do in the right of entry, but I or the volunteers feel that it's too much for volunteers.
Absolutely.
So just clarification.
Yep, good at that. Fourth point, Senator Mike McGuire out of Sonoma, who's been dealing obviously with the aftermath of Sonoma fires and White Country fires for the past year. There was a 2-hour KQED forum yesterday, and this guy, who was completely stand up, was on there saying that what they're going to do in Sonoma County is put in sirens all over the place and not mounted cars mounted in communities and rigged up to assist them because that's the only thing that people are going to hear. And just so we're clear on that.
And when did he say that?
Yesterday on KQED forum.
Yesterday on the 5 o'clock news, the sheriff of Sonoma County said they were not going to put in sirens. They were using the sirens on the sheriff's cars instead.
Listen to what McGuire said.
Huh?
Who's
in charge? The sheriff.
So I think one thing on sirens.
Yeah. The sheriff's not in charge. Not of that.
So I think one thing on sirens that should be out and on the table. The district, in essence, hasn't made a decision yes or no. Whenever you have a catastrophic event, whether it be earthquake, man-made, hazardous material, refinery, wildland interface fire, those type of things, there's the learning curve of the information that comes out. There are some communities. I got an email from someone that saw the information on KQED. I also got an email from someone that saw the thing about the sheriff and police cars. I think you have to let things shake out for a community like this to determine. I know we're in fire season, I know we're in a hazardous time, but we have to see what's really gonna happen. I've also talked with some people in Sonoma County that say the sirens on the firehouses should go away. We're tired of them. Yeah. There's technology that can activate the volunteers another way. So it's a push-pull. I believe in the next 12 to 18 months, you'll see the industry standard. You'll probably see NFPA get involved in their dispatch component of riding regulations of what is the best practice for notification on those type of things. As we all know, things like Nixel and all different types of notification systems are out there, and they're only as good as how well thought out they are and how bought on to they are by the community it serves. So at this point, the district does not know. We're in kind of a study period of what will be best. Is it patrol cars? Is it citizen-based notification programs? Is it Nixel? Is it the website? Is it stationary sirens? All those things are being looked at.
Well, I agree with you, Arthur, everything you can at the problem. But and that's a big part of it. So the last question I have is this. We've been told repeatedly that we can't establish evacuation routes or suggest them for individuals in houses, for we don't know where a fire is coming from, and something about liability. So I guess my question is, if there's an emergency, we don't have any pre-evacuation specific plans as far as I understand, and it's quite likely that locally we could do this anyway. But my question is, if there is a conflagration and you have hundreds of cars trying to get down the hills, how will the emergency vehicles get up the hills fighting that traffic if no arteries are clear?
So that's a great question, and it's a difficult question. So the men and women of the fire department, they understand the geography of the community. They're tested on it. They're tested on their streets as they go through their probationary, and they're tested on it once they become a driver. Even the acting drivers are. So if they know a specific fire is in a specific area and those homes are already evacuating, they're going to avoid those entry routes. They're going to come to another part of the community and go up. But remember, odds are an evacuation notice is going to be after the primary engine is there. And so then that engine that says, you know, hit the 911 reverse and evacuate above the Arlington, then everyone else that's responding will be on notice that this, you know, so if we have strike teams coming, everyone will be on notice that evacuations in this area are taking place. Well, there's only one way out from the top, and that's over into Berkeley. So that it's common knowledge for the operators that they know people are going to be moving down. So they will, through discussions with the dispatch centers, where they're hearing traffic jams, where law enforcement is at organized intersections controlling traffic, be able to communicate, because police and fire can go from back and forth to different channels and see where the traffic flow is.
That's good. So, and that makes perfect sense. But the other part of this is that you and other fire officials have told us repeatedly that in the event of a conflagration, as we've seen even for minor emergencies around here, our crews are going to be deployed elsewhere, which means that no matter how much we train our crews, if they aren't here, somebody from Hayward or San Francisco is coming in to respond to Kensington, will they know the geography and the routes they need?
Well, they will not know the geography. We send our engine companies out all the time, you know, when we go north and we go to the Call Fire and things like that. But they do have the capability. The rigs all, 90% of the rigs in the system now all have GIS capabilities where they're running off a satellite and they're hitting a map, and the map is showing in front of the captain that shows the area. Up until the point that when outside resources go anywhere, they're unfamiliar and they have to rely on their strike team leader. That's why they send engines with one battalion chief. 90% of the strike team leaders that come out now have a what they call a trainee guide with them. So it's looking at the maps, it's looking at the GIS, and it's looking at what's going on at the incident to look at the best ways in and out of the community.
Appreciate your time.
No problem.
One last question that I ask. How much integration is going on with the police district? I mean, they have an important role with regard to evacuation, notice and evacuation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there is sufficient?
Well, when it comes to training, I've always said this in emergency services, you can't train enough. Just because you do it one day doesn't mean you shouldn't do it the other day. Could more be done? Always could be. There could be done. But remember, evacuation for law enforcement is a standard procedure. The police force that will be here, our respond here on mutual aid, are all trained on how to do evacuation from the inception of getting in law enforcement.
And most likely that there'll be California Highway Patrol and Contra Costa Sheriff, right? Doing the evacuation. It's not going to be the Kensington Police Department.
No, I think you're wrong on that. The first responder will be the Kensington Police
Department. That's one person,
yeah,
Dave.
Maybe one, maybe two, but be that as it may, they still will be the first responders, and that's why you need the immigration is suggesting. Yes, there will be Contra Costa County sheriffs,
yeah,
and possibly the Highway Patrol, but they are going to be delayed in coming in. That's not my only point.
And the chief and others have pointed out, that the first emergency, when somebody calls in the house, our cop's going to be there. They have to respond to that, and so the roads will have to be taken.
Lance's point is well taken. The integration, they're trained that way, and they're going to be the first responders.
Thank you.
I think there was one more question. Did you have a question?
I wanted to clarify two statements that were made in the correction. The Kensington community center building
is not a going to be sheltered or used by the citizens in a certain groups that are responsible for assisting the first responders. It will be an assembly area for 1/6 of Kensington. There are six certain areas in Kensington. Their assembly areas range from Caruso Circle to the top of the ridge. K3, Kensington Area 3, will use the grounds around the building as the assembly site, but we are not planning to go inside buildings to operate because of earthquake experience lay outside. But we will assemble there for K3 people. Secondly, it's not a communication center. It has a radio. We will have six communication centers, one for each CERT area, again located at the ICP in these six CERT places. That radio, we did have a citywide drill last Sunday covering Hill Street in Kensington. We had a full radio set up. Peter participated in that. And K3, Kensington 3, responded as part of the emergency radio drill, but it was done from a resident's house because we only have two keys to the room that the radio was in, the computer set, and there's only one set of keys to unlock it. Now, in an emergency, a hand sledge will solve that problem, but we operated from a resident's house instead of the community center, which is likely what might happen in an emergency. So, you know, it's an important place for K3, but there are five other important places in Kensington. Probably most of us live. So.
Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you, Hal.
Yes.
I have a quick question about evacuation. I haven't heard anything about Kensington Hilltop School. What are the plans for that?
To evacuate the school?
Yeah.
Well, the school district has an evacuation plan.
Uh-huh.
Where if, they have an emergency plan for their entire district and every site within their district. Ultimately, the students that migrate from morning to afternoon to and from the school district would use buses if at all possible. If the situation moved so rapidly that wouldn't be possible, they'd use private autos and any parents that would be in the area. Odds are, if it was a fire that was not directly facing the school, they'd shelter in place.
Okay. We're on to item 6, and as if you haven't been talking enough, sir, it's your turn now on the fire chief's report.
I love it.
And I bet we have an extra glass of water for you if you need it.
So first and foremost, thank you for all your questions this evening, Anthony. Be sure to give me your phone number before we go.
It's good to see the community involved.
On the one thing I did want to back up to, I was taking notes here, and I didn't raise my hand. On the call about priority dispatch, if you could give me a date, I'd be more than willing to pull the call and pull the tape and make sure it was priority dispatched properly. Every once in a while, we'll get a customer slash citizen that will ask us, why was it just an ambulance? And I always like to have the dispatch center run the tape where I can hear the questioning and we can make sure they follow the guidelines. So if you can come up with that information, that would be great.
Yeah, I can get it from Officer Foley. He responded.
Perfect. In my chief's report tonight, you'll see that El Cerrito Kensington participated in the Urban Shield training exercise this year. In September, six of our members went out. And what this is it's an all-hazard, all-division, all-department, EMS, from CERT groups to fire, police, law enforcement, Red Cross. And specifically this year, our members and our engine company went to Mare Island and operated as a USAR team with a Vacaville group, where they did extrication of people and transportation of a person from a crane that involved an active shooter that had already been neutralized by the officers. My point: we try to participate in this every year. It's an advanced level of training that about half of our department has. And the members of the department have volunteered for this training. You probably read in some of my chief's reports in the past. We put in grants for the training and the equipment, so it comes back at zero cost to us for the equipment and the training and the overtime to cover the training. So it's always good to see when folks can go out and engage their new skills. I'd encourage you to go to the video link there at the bottom when you have time, and you'll get to see some very interesting things about the shield. Right this moment, I can tell you all the men and women of our department are home and no one's out at fires, and we can thank Mother Nature and some very aggressive firefighters in the state for that right now. OES 300, back on September 8th, went to the Snell Fire, which was another fast-moving fire. Luckily, they were there early. The fire ended up being contained at 2,500 acres, but it was really in a section where it could have went a long way. And it was great. I mean, I think most of the time this year, our engine companies have been gone for 12 to 14 to as long as 21 days. But this time they were only out for about a week. I called Chief James, our frequent flyer. He was dispatched out as a comm manager for Team 4, as the communication leader for the Delta Fire at Lakehead in northern Shasta County, where he spent a very extended period of time where they have lots of issues with communication, with repeaters and radio systems and programming, a thing that they clone radios for every agency that arrives at the scene. And it sounds like some of his side stories to this is they were quite short-staffed with abilities that had, with folks that had the abilities to clone radios. And so it was, he said, one of his busier assignments this year. Also assigned to this fire was one of our captains. Captain from this station, Travis Crumpacker, was assigned as a line EMT, line medic. Which was very interesting about this is it was a very remote area of the fire where he was assigned to. So they would give him his equipment, they'd give him a map and say, this is where you got to end up. They'd take him to a certain drop point, and then he'd hike into where the hand crews were, where there weren't roads. And so on a couple of occasions, he'd hike in and stay 5 days with the hand crew, and then when the hand crew would rotate, he'd hike back out. So it's a very different experience than being a municipal firefighter and being at a station 3 or 48 hour shift, but it brings a greater respect for wildland fires and the devastation they can cause. So I'm really proud of the men and women of our fire department. We've been out quite a bit this year. We haven't had any injuries, and we've had no equipment damage. So I think a lot of that goes to Chief James's job and Chief Gibson's job as training chiefs, that they have our folks at a really high level of readiness. That's all I have.
Okay, any questions of the chief?
I'd just like to make a comment to thank Chief Maples on behalf of the CERT community. We just happened to be trying to get a radio communication set up at Tassajara Park at the same time that Lance sent Kevin James away into the mountains. And there was no one there to schedule the installation of the antenna that we needed for that communication center at Tassajara Park. And I want to thank Lance. He jumped in and pulled a few knobs, and the antenna got constructed, even though Chief James was up in the mountains. Thanks,
Larry. I appreciate that, but one thing I'll say, and it changes when you become a battalion chief in an organization of our size, and you go out as a strike team leader, or division, or group leader, or in Kevin's case, as a comm unit manager. I mean, Kevin has a pretty stressful job when he's out. He manages all of the communications for everyone that's on an incident. And he has 3 people that work under him, but he probably could use 30 people to really make it happen. I believe in providing mutual aid. I believe in helping our neighbor. But I also am very stern about you have to be accessible to the citizens we serve. And you have to be able to reach back when you can. So my requirement is when our command staff is out on these, that at least one period during the day, during business hours, they have to be in a situation where they can review their emails and return phone calls and text messages. Yeah. And so I pulled some strings, but they were probably just Kevin's. So I want to compliment Kevin on the record for making sure he always gets stuff done. So.
Okay, any more questions of the chief? Okay, on to my report. Last meeting, the Public Safety Committee asked us to post their events on our website, and Brenda's happy to do that, and also post on Nextdoor, if that's what you would like as well. And Brenda, I noticed in my latest communications from the CSDA, they're having a high school student video contest where the kids get a scholarship for submitting a video on special districts. So maybe we ought to post that on our website and on Nextdoor as well. I mean, it's a decent scholarship without a lot of...
About ending electric
very soon?
That already is...
Is it closed?
Is expired, yeah.
Is it closed already?
That is that scholarship is run by the Contra Costa Special Districts Association.
No, it's the California Special Districts Association.
Well, maybe we're talking different scholarships. The one that just expired was run... We used to give money for scholarships to the Contra Costa County teachers. And this year we're running a video contest.
Maybe I'm not aware of the one you're talking about.
It's the statewide CSDA is the one I'm talking about. Okay. Yeah.
But it was only for that's a different contest then. I'm talking about the one that's run for Contra Costa student, high school students. And it's run by the
I'm talking about the one run by the CSDA in Sacramento.
Oh, that's not just for, that's for every, that's for...
For everybody throughout the state.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it may be two similar ones. But anyway, I'll shoot you the information on that, Brenda, and we can probably post that on our web and probably on Nextdoor as well. Let's see, my other comment is with respect to the lease agreement that we have with the Community Services District. It expires December 31st. So I talked to the president of the Community Services District, and she appointed Len Welsh as their negotiator. Brenda and I have repeatedly contacted Len to negotiate the lease, and he has refused to respond to any of those communications. So now Rochelle and I are negotiating directly between the two of us, and we hope to have a conclusion to the negotiations within the next month. And let's see, the only other thing I want to talk about in my president's report is this is October's Fire Prevention Month, and so we're having our usual October open house here in the Apparatus Bay this Saturday from 10 to 2. It's an event for kids, and it's an event for adults also to get fire prevention and earthquake safety information. We're going to have those on display, Vita, just for you, our demonstration garden, so you can see what it's going to look like and what we're planting for real, not just on the computer. But anyway, there it is. You can have a sneak peek after the meeting today. In addition, I'd like you to mark your calendars for two of our other very popular fall events. Every April and every October, we have our shredding event up in the parking lot opposite the church and right below the community center. And that's going to be on October 27th. And at the very same time, we're having our pharmaceutical drop-off here, where we take unused or expired pharmaceuticals. And the police department cooperates with us so that we can take narcotics. So we pay all the costs, but they send a police officer there so that we can take anything that the community brings in. So those two events are coming up, and I'm just asking you to note that so that you can put them on your calendars.
Janice, could I add one thing to the... It is a fire prevention open house, but the CERT team, the Kensington CERT team, will also have a table up here.
That's Al, right, I
Al
forgot.
Provosky yeah, of Kensington right. 6 and I from Kensington 2 will be at that table. We'll be recruiting CERT volunteers townwide. We'll have a table full of information, and I don't think we're having any entertainment planned, but please
come
up.
We can give you some hats and badges.
Anybody who's interested in learning about CERT training, how CERT works, what CERT does, we'd love to talk to you. And please spread the word to all your neighbors. It's a Kensington-wide event. We've sort of stolen a little of the thunder from the Fire Prevention Day, but I think the firefighters will forgive us.
You have leverage.
Yeah, and then we have one other important event to announce, which is the parade on Sunday, because our Grand Marshal is sitting at the end of the table and would be extraordinarily disappointed were you not to cheer him on during the parade. And I think Haven't they arranged a convertible for you and the kids and your wife are going to come too?
Yes.
I'm hoping some folks can run alongside and yell out questions and I can hit them on the fly as we're going. Just going
Anthony?
Oh, cool.
Are you ready?
Yeah. That could be Anthony's job. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, candy throw.
Yeah, I think it's a candy.
No, that's discontinued.
No, they won't let us do that at the Salon Astral anymore, so we won't. We refuse to participate because Nina used to hit people.
Oh, apparently. I don't think
an unsafe thrower.
It was everybody.
Not just any convertible. It's a Duesenberg.
Oh, are you in a Duesenberg? Really? Oh,
I'm kidding.
Who owns that?
I don't know. It'd be fairly cool.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, on to board reports.
Excuse me, can I ask a question on your report?
Yes.
In your negotiations with the lease for the with KPPCSD, are you considering paying rent for your meetings at the community center?
No.
Because you guys meet there 12 times a year at least. And
does anybody else pay rent?
So is that not going to be a reciprocal?
I don't believe that that's one of the terms that we're discussing. We're basically, we view it as a relatively short-term lease, so that we're basically, the proposal we made to Lynn was pretty much a continuation of what we have now with a COLA clause. And no COLA for, no COLA for 6 months.
Plus.
Yeah, correct. That's the proposal that we made 6 months ago. Yeah. Okay, on to board reports. The Finance Committee is Nina and me. And the audit is now underway, so that you will have, or will shortly be, I guess like next week, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. 2 weeks.
You're going to have, does that work with your schedule, those dates?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then we're going to have the audit field work done in 2 weeks. And then we're using the same auditor that we had last year. So we should get their report, what's our guess, maybe January?
January,
maybe February, we'll get their draft report. And then Brenda and our accountant take a look at it, the Finance Committee takes a look at it, and then we bring it to the board for approval, and we have the auditor formally present it to the board at that time. So that'll probably be at our February meeting, is my guess. That's when we do a lot of finances. We do our mid-year budget review, and we'll probably do the presentation of the audit at the same meeting. Okay, do you have anything on that, Nina? Okay, the public safety building, Don?
No, I know more about it than I do, I guess.
Okay, and do you have anything, Larry?
No.
Okay, on to education, and I gave you the main dates. There are a couple of other dates in the fire plug, which is part of your packet here, and in particular, it's the dates of the CERT training, and the CPR training and the first aid training. So I would direct you to page 2 of the fire plug. The CPR classes are and first aid classes are on October 20th and November 17th. And the CERT training begins on Monday, January 7th. So if you're interested in any of those programs, mark those dates on your calendars. Yes?
Drone demonstration.
The drone demonstration is...
November 3rd, 10 a.m.
Oh, I didn't know the time. We had picked November 3rd, and then Joe picked 10 a.m.?
10 a.m.
And is it going to be here, or is it going to be up at the community center? In the park, okay.
By Building E, in the grassy area.
Building E. Okay, all right. 10 a.m. on November 3rd by Building E. Okay, great. Well, and then you can take.
Rent for that?
Huh?
Are you paying rent for that?
No. No, I guess we're just negotiating. We're good negotiators, Vita. You know, that's how it works.
I guess they are sleep at the switch.
I beg your pardon?
Rain or shine?
We won't be doing it if it's raining.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's November 3rd by Building E at 10 a.m. is the drone thing. And and you won't be able to get that in your...
No, I can.
Oh, can you? And it'll be mailed out by then so that people can have it by then? Oh, cool. And then I don't think you've announced it yet on our website or next door, have you?
No.
Then maybe we can announce that so people can start planning, because I think there's a lot of interest in how the drone works. Yeah. Okay, those are all the dates I wanted you to put on your calendars. The demonstration garden, you can look at the plans and get a sneak preview of the plans are up on the wall there, and we're going to have them up at the open house so people can take a look and see what it's going to look like. And we're still shooting for planting in spring. To a certain extent, it's been dependent on construction of the community center, because if we can't use that as a staging site, or we can't have the construction equipment on that land, or it's going to make it dramatically harder for us to ultimately plant the garden. So we're trying to work with their time schedule and also with an appropriate time schedule for planting. So more on that when we figure out more about their timetable. Okay, on to you, Larry, on the Contra Costa Special Districts Association.
Yes, the next meeting is next Monday, and I will be there, and Nina may or may,
Mike,
not,
yeah.
may, or may not be there as well.
Very informative, I like.
Yeah, and...
yeah, they're good meetings.
We'll bring back a month later the report, and for those that are interested, the last meeting, which was held...
I'm thinking July, was it?
Quarterly, so.
Yeah, it's quarterly. I think it was in July.
I think it was July, but I'm looking for the date here.
It was when I was in the... July 16th, yeah.
Yeah, there it is, July 16th. Yeah.
And I missed that meeting.
I can't imagine why.
I don't think anybody else was able to cover for me, so we missed that, but it doesn't sound like an awful lot happened there, so... Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the Diablo Fire Safe Council?
Yes, their meeting is in 2 weeks, and I will be attending that as well.
Okay. Do you actually have the date? Not right with
not
you.
Not right with
yeah.
you, no.
Okay. All right. Okay, anything else? Then I'm going to adjourn our meeting tonight at... I'm going to call it like 8:15, Brenda. Is that about right?
8:19.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
My friend.